Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is, No, because of the taxes, I know. Today is April 19th.
Yes, you was about to say November, though, but yes. No,
I don't know why November was slipping out. Oh, what the hell? The hell going on? Shit. But, y'all turn your taxes in? Don't get Sam after you now.
I turned the paperwork in.
Bro, like,
Yeah, I turned the paperwork in, but we got to have a conversation.
Okay. My Fed is gone because it's filed electronically. I got to put my state in the mailbox. I guess I'll do that in the morning.
I got stuck because technically I'm an out-of-state employee from California.
Oh, because your company's based in L.A.?
Yeah, so I was good on Fed, but New York State going to be at my door in 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah. They coming.
So because your company's in California, you pay California state tax.
No, I didn't pay. I didn't pay any state tax.
Oh,
but I wasn't paying attention to that fact.
Okay, yeah.
My accountant called me like, "Yo, let me talk to you about it." So now I got to start making preemptive quarterly payments, like estimated payments, just so I don't get stuck at the end of the year again like this.
Yeah, that's the thing about being an independent person, you gotta do all that quarterly shit.
Well, I'm not independent. I'm an employee. Because I'm an out of state employee, I just don't pay any state taxes. So this is new territory for me.
Okay. Well, peace to everybody out there. Call Sam if you ain't paid him, call him and let him know it's gonna be late.
Because they will come. Yeah. I'm a witness. Them niggas will come.
Yeah, now
tell them you're gonna put a little something on it.
I'll put a little something in the one I'm sending in the mail tomorrow. Matter of fact,
Let you do that. They'll let you put something on it, but you gotta call them.
Yeah. You gotta let them know. Hey, I'm a couple days late with that saying. Don't get on me now. So we want to say a happy belated birthday to you, Nye. You had your birthday celebration last week at one night at Ricardo's and one night at
Boogie Yoki,
which Sean missed Boogie Yoki, but I came to the Ricardo.
Sean missed everything. I'm sorry, Sean. We missed you.
Yeah, I was sad. I was mad sad, as Jeff would say. But just between Jordan and my mother-in-law, she was in town and just sort of running crazy. It was just no possible way. I was sad. I had my steps ready for karaoke and all that.
Yeah. Well,
how did karaoke go? By the way.
It was good. We had two teams instead of three this year.
Okay.
And because we had only two teams, we were actually able to go more rounds. I think the first time ever we had a tie, so we had to do a lightning round.
Okay.
So that was interesting. Well, I don't know if it makes a difference because it's not like, it's the same team every year. But we had like a lot of new people this year too.
Oh, yeah.
But I will say next year is the 5th anniversary of Boogie Yoki. So next year, Boogie Yoki is my only birthday celebration. And I'm going to make
it ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's going to be your blowout with that.
I'm going to have to blow it up. I'm going to have to make it huge.
All right. That's cool.
And
shout
out to Josen and Black L Woods. They came back as judges. Both of them have been pretty consistent judges of the event. It was fun. Ricardo was great. And then I cooked brunch on Sunday since my birthday was actually on Easter. I had a few people over to the house for brunch on Sunday.
Nice.
Did you go to church Sunday?
I did. I went to church. So I'm like, I knew I needed to check my spirit because I was mad because I knew we got to church late. We got to church at like 11,
30 maybe.
Ooh, yeah.
Which was bad. And I already knew that meant we were going to have to sit in the overflow section.
Yeah.
But I get mad when I have to sit in the overflow section.
Yeah. Can you even see the pulpit from there? You just.
No, they do. They have screens. Okay. They have like 3 TV screens down there. And during collection, pastor will come down to overflow and say hi to people. Okay. But I just felt the way. But it's just like, you still get the word, you still see the service, but the energy is different when you're not in the sanctuary.
Yeah, you're not in the middle of it.
Yeah, so it's just like literally there's a different, like there's a different palpable energy. So, but I went, which is all that matters, and got a good word and came home and cooked some great food and drank. And yeah, so I'm assuming that because my birthday coincided with Resurrection Sunday, that means that maybe I need to be like trying to usher some chill into my life, but I don't really just know. I'm trying to figure that out.
I watched the service on the pewter.
You said it was long.
Oh, it was long. Yeah, Pastor Dewey went. That church is a big church down there, and they do a lot. I don't say this as a diss, but there's a lot of theatrics to the church. They do like, they got the huge choir section.
They be doing recreations and all kinds of
stuff. They do all that. They do the things where the women and the men meet up, you know, for singles. They do a lot. The church is very active. And so they had it during Easter. They had a whole play, an Easter play before the sermon. I knew bro was going to like that.
Yeah, they had a whole. They had Deacon Jones up there on the cross.
Yep, absolutely. They had a guy. They had a guy play the devil. He had the Hederick shirt on.
Oh man.
It was a whole play about that, and then they had the choirs, and then
I ain't seen an Easter play in forever.
Yeah, then Pastor Dewey preached. So by the time I turned the pewter off, it was sniffing too.
Wow. All
right. Well, send me a link. I might check it out. I went to church.
I went to church, man.
I wanted to go to my childhood church. But they actually is like weird. They moved, Brooklyn, man. Gentrification is coming, man. So I think they doing something with the church to put like apartments on top of it sort of redo it. And which is, I mean, to be perfectly honest, if that's what the case is, that's fine. I mean, I understand it. It's a really big church. The congregation is not that big in my childhood church. So it's probably beneficial for the church, you know.
Yeah, to make money.
Financially. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But
I wound up going to, I go to a non-denominational church over here, which, you know, like I've said, it's really cool. You get the word. It's a really concise service. You get a lot of information in there, but you know, it's really, you know, there's no familiarity.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I'm curious because for a service like Easter at a non-denominational church, how do they do that?
Well, I mean, he basically, the pastor was a young associate pastor, which I was already kind of like, I didn't really like the senior pastor used to be the associate pastor. So I was kind of like, all right, I got used to him. I wasn't crazy about him. And then they had a new kid up there. He basically got almost like a stand-up routine. I'm like,
come on, man.
I get it. He was young. He was trying to be vibrant. It was a prodigal son sort of sermon. I get it.
But you don't put the JV up for
Easter Sunday
playoff game. You know what I'm saying?
Like, bro, it was prime time. It wasn't like the last service. This wasn't the 1:30 service.
It was like 11 o'clock.
This was the 11:30 service. So this is second service. I'm like, you can't be tired already, bro. You had but one service before this.
Exactly.
You know, so, I mean, God bless him, the young guy. I mean, listen, I get it because that's a big part of our issues with churches is that they become old. They're not really catering to youth. They're not really talking, you know, to kids in the audience, in the sanctuary. So it was cool. It's just, you know, I'm an old dude. I want me a preacher up there in a robe. Gators.
Sweating a little bit.
You want some Easter lilies behind them on the pulpit?
Yeah. I want all the deacons to be clean. Got their good suits on. You know what I'm saying? All matching ties. Everybody got the matching ties on.
I'm gonna definitely send you the link now Sunday to Pastor Dewey because I think you'll like, because he's not an old guy. He's not young, but he's probably like 40, 42 or 43. So he's like, you know, he still got a little swag to him, whatever. And though, speaking of the old thing and didn't, then we'll move on. But, towards the end of Pastor Dewey, I actually, switched to Ebenezer, you know, Martin Luther King's, old church. Cause they do a stream as well. All these churches do streams around it. And that was just like Sean said, like it was interesting to see the dichotomy in Ebenezer cause it was older. It was much older. The older people, a slower pastor, like a slower service. And like, it's just a very kind of different from what, you know, Pastor Dewey is doing with the young energy. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
You know, but yeah, but you know, happy Easter to everybody, you know. First thing I want to touch on is, old Janet Jackson had a showed us a little baby, a little yellow baby. what's his name? Issa? I think it's the baby's name. Issa.
Do we know his name? Is it Issa?
Yeah. Yes. Issa. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's E-I-S-S-A. So I believe that's Issa.
Yeah.
I believe that's Issa. Yeah. And then they have pictures out also with the father playing with the baby out in the park. And,
And can I say, I got a little bone of contention with that. So
with the father part?
Well, no, one outlet that published pictures of, the father with the baby was like Janet's, you know, estranged ex-husband babysits their son. Fathers don't fucking babysit. Like, You're the father with the kid. That's not babysitting.
Yeah.
That just bothered me.
But that goes on all the time. People with this, even I've heard men say that. Yeah, I gotta watch the kids. It's like, nigga, you're not watching the kids.
Like, they're your damn kids.
Yeah, they're your kids. You ain't watching the kids. It's like a lot of men get in the space where they feel like if they gotta be alone with the kids, they just alone, just long enough for the mother to get home. And take
basically,
them. Yeah. So I can go do what I want to do.
It's and like, don't die. Like, do we gonna do just enough to make sure you don't drink no Corona?
Exactly. Check on him because make sure he don't give that baby no liquor. It's like what? It's like, like a nigga's not smart enough to watch his kids, you know. So, but I mean, I'm happy for Janet. She, you know, she, you know, from the picture, she seems happy. Obviously, the marriage isn't intact. Although the her husband, you know, has been kind of posting these little notes and love on Instagram that it doesn't sound like he wants to break up.
Well, I think that I, you know, listen, it sounds like it's an amicable split.
Yeah.
To some degree. I don't think he's going to fight her on this. I don't think there ever going to be issues about them with the kid. And I really don't sort of get that vibe from either of them.
Yeah.
He probably, you know, loves her and hates that, you know, she doesn't necessarily want to live his way of life. That's understandable, you know. Yeah. It's understandable on both parts. I mean.
And that's somehow, based on very little, I feel like it's about lifestyle. I don't feel like it's about anything else.
Yeah, but I think that's what it, yeah.
I think it'll be very interesting to see if she maintains her Muslim faith once she leaves. Cause you know, she's all the way in as of right now.
It looked like on the photo that she posted, it looked like her head was covered.
Yeah, her hair was covered. But then I saw another picture where her hair was out. She had like a little bun, but she still wears like, you know, the wrapped clothes and
the
like,
three parts.
I think she's gonna, I think she's
never
gonna,
showing your stuff off.
Exactly. I think even if she wants to, not necessarily operate in a traditional sense. I think she's going to be very meticulous in how she backs out of that lifestyle. You know, Janet does a lot of international. She makes a lot of money overseas. I'm pretty sure she does not want to be, you know, in a situation where, you know, she's sort of being frowned upon in these countries and other territories. Yeah. So she's going to be very, and, you know, she was married. I mean, I don't think she has, you know, a distaste for the lifestyle. I just think she realizes it's not really what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Yeah. On a sidebar with somebody with a Muslim lifestyle, I saw a clip recently of Lindsay Lohan. And Lindsay Lohan, a lot of people don't realize, has converted to Islam. And she's like serious about it. Like she's like a straight up, you know, Muslim.
I'm gonna keep my eye.
Let me just say this one thing. Now, I will say this. In the clip I saw of her, she's actually speaking about going. I think it was through an airport, and somebody asked her to take her hijab off so they could search her. And she was like, you know, I did it, you know, but I'm a new Muslim, so maybe I'm a little more, comfortable taking my stuff off, but I can imagine how, you know, Muslim women who have been raised like this all their lives, when they get into this situation, you know, and also, of course, people know her, you know, it's like, you know, I can understand how they feel like, you know, really violated by it. But my point to that also was she looks great. She looks very healthy. You know what I mean? Like she's your weight's back up, eyes is clear. Like she looks really, really good. Like this being a Muslim has really seemed to help her. Mm-hmm. You know, she sounded good. I mean, look at bruh. But being a Muslim seems to have really kind of helped her.
Her
manic, you know what I'm saying?
So
I'm not hating.
I'm just saying, and I'm not even saying that this is the case with Lindsay, but for people in recovery, it's very easy for them to grasp onto new things that make them feel like it's feeding something that's missing, and very often that's religion. So, and new converts to almost any kind of religion are usually like just in deep. So I'm just saying, I'm just gonna watch. That's all I'm saying.
I'm gonna say it. God damn it. I'm gonna keep an eye on her. She on the plane with me. I'm keeping an eye on her.
What you think she gonna do? Oh, come on, bro.
Hey, nigga. Hey. That's all I'm saying. And listen, man. And listen, for me, I don't really buy a lot of shit that junkies do. And I get that she's in recovery now, but it really takes a while for me to start to believe what they do and what they say.
You want to give us some time?
Yeah, give us some time. Listen, and I don't mean that in any harsh way. Like, God bless her. If this is the thing that, you know, brings her out of the depths of, you know, drug use and just, you know, a horrible, you know, life, or what it seemed like anyway, from the outside looking in. So if this is what takes her out of that, that's fine. And again, God bless her.
But you're not sure if you trust it yet. I get you.
Listen, man, how many times, you know, Crystal then got saved, went up to altar call. She's been at all the women's day meetings. She's on the usher board.
And Lindsay was fanatic.
She's on the usher board. And then the next thing you know, your Madea movies is missing.
Not the Madea movie. And Lindsay was pretty deep into Kabbalah at one point as well. I just think that, I mean, and this is no, listeners probably know, you know, I am a Christian and I don't know if I'll call myself super religious, but I'm very spiritual. So I'm not knocking organized religion, but you know, again, it's really easy for people new to a faith to just
to OD
all the way in and then like burn themselves out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So okay. God bless them.
Well, yeah, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. So, also might as well mention, Serena Williams, announced her pregnancy, today. She's 20 weeks pregnant, which means that she actually won the Australian Open while being pregnant, which is
awesome,
which is unbelievable. Like it's, she like was in her first trimester and she's like winning major tournaments,
which is super amazing. Cause most women in their first trimester are just sick
wiped out
and miserable. Yeah. And yeah.
Yep, throwing up and sleeping, like, you know, and just, you know, like I said, miserable. And she's like winning tournaments. So it's crazy. So she's engaged now to, cannot remember, oh boy's name, the guy. He owns Reddit. Alex, I'll probably say his last name.
The founder of Reddit.
Ohanian. I think he might be like a Persian cat or something like that. But, Alexis Ohanian. Yeah, he's, the founder of Reddit. They announced the engagement and they said they're with child and, you know, hey, Serena seems happy. And of course, here come Hotep Twitter going in because he's not black, you know, beefing with Serena, saying, why she let a white man get her pregnant and blah, blah, blah. It's like, y'all, some of y'all niggas just can't be happy about nothing. Man.
Ever.
I don't even, I don't even, like, them niggas can't even take no more of my energy. Like, I don't even, like, you niggas are dumb.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, you stupid. I'm not listening to you. You them niggas who couldn't read out loud in class. I'm not fucking with none of y'all.
So we, you know, peace and love to Serena, man. Have y'all listened to the Kendrick album yet?
Yeah.
What do y'all
I listened to it while I was cooking and the night before when I was prepping.
Okay.
I can't say I've given it enough of a listen to really, really, really be able to like
to talk about
speak it on it for real. Yeah.
Okay. What you think about it, bro?
I like the album. Listening to it the first go around, I wasn't crazy about it. I let, you know, a few days go by, and then I had it on in the gym again today. I definitely feel like it's an album that'll grow on me.
Okay.
I still don't feel like he makes enjoyable music.
Mm.
It feels like work. Like you feel like you really have to. And what I mean by work is that he does so many arrangements. There's so many beat changes. There's such a lot going on
mm-hmm.
in the record that it really takes a lot for you to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's cool for people who like it. I'm just not one of those people.
Yeah.
I understand why people enjoy it. But again, I had to take a step back because of course, you know, Overreaction Twitter, and it's a classic Twitter, and all of those dudes are like making it something else. So actually for a couple days, man, I just went to like some classic albums that really aged well and just sort of listened to them for a while.
Like what? Give me an example.
Well, I just put on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, man, and that album really aged well. Like it's still a great record and it's actually enjoyable, right? Okay. Like, I don't think the beat selection is great. I understand there's a lot of traditional hip hop vibes in there.
You're talking about Kendrick.
Kendrick, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not big on some of those records. I'm just not. I mean, I get it, but you know.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I like the album, but I don't love it. There's about three or four songs on there that I love, but overall I think the album is good, but it's not like amazing, you know, and I've been arguing and debating with a lot of people because it's like one of those albums. He's such a big artist that it's one of those things where a lot of people feel like if everybody's saying it's great, then they feel like they kind of have to say it's great because they don't want to go against the grain.
Well, a lot of people also feel like they have to say it's great because it's Kendrick, right? Like,
yeah.
I think it's one of those things where he's being graded on a different scale.
Yeah.
And whereas some other people would be like, I mean, okay, the beat goes, but nigga, what is you saying? Or something like that. With Kendrick, it's like, yo.
That's the thing. Cool. Like, Kendrick has gotten to the point now where I feel like he and J. Cole have become so anti-Drake.
Yeah, exactly.
And that I feel like there's a whole contingent of folks that want to like them. And I get that folks like them, but I feel like there's a bunch of folks that want to make you feel like if you don't really like Kendrick, then you're not smart and you don't get it.
You're not real hip hop head.
Head and all of that sort of stuff. And you know, Kendrick has some really cool things that he does, you know, on the album that shows you that he's really a student of the game and he's really been raised in this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that and I understand that, but like that still doesn't make it enjoyable. Like I loved X-Clan. That didn't make their music, you know, enjoyable.
Yeah.
Brother Jay is nice as a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You listen to that album and you like, holy shit.
Yeah, nigga, his voice is crazy too. His tone.
That's the other thing. Like it's very difficult to hear him. I don't like the way it's even engineered. Like the bass is so heavy on so many records. It's so, the beats to me are clunky. And they sound very late 80s, early 90s, which is great for those people. But like, I just, you know, I'm not listening to a cassette tape. I'm listening to high def digital and it's really hard to listen.
Yeah, I agree with the anti-Drake thing, though. It's a lot of people who just feel like I'm not going to give Drake his props. So these guys are like the anti-Drakes, especially Kendrick, you know what I'm saying?
Because
they have undertones of like, you know, competition and little slights and beefs between them. So it's like, I pick Kendrick because I'm a real hip hop guy or whatever. And I'm like, me and my boy was getting into that shit. And he's like, all right, man, well, like, you can't say nothing about Kendrick thing because you ain't real hip. I'm like, all right, nigga, but you know what? When you at the club and then Passion Fruit come on, then you got to sit down. So like,
that's, there you go.
There's a trade off then. Don't act like you like, you know.
And I want to say this, and I'm not going to rant, but I got to say this. Like, I'm sick of you revisionist history as hip hop niggas, okay? Everything that came out between 88 and 94 was not some deep shit, okay?
At all.
It was a lot of fucking trash. It was a lot of one hit wonders, okay, my nigga? Like, we're not going to do this. We're not going to start making it seem like everything that came out during this period
was flames.
So was not just flames, but like that they were so deep and they were so into some shit. Like, yeah, I know you had the, you know, you had PE and you had people that were conscious and very focused on that, the KRS-One and all that shit. But like, let's chill, my nigga. Like, not everything that came out during that period and during that era was popping.
Exactly, exactly. So now take a listen and let us know what you think when you get a chance.
I will say, if nothing else, the visuals have been off the chain.
Yeah, I was going to say both
videos. Visuals are crazy.
Both the Humble video and the DNA video are great. Like those,
the DNA video was awesome, and I really want to applaud Don Cheadle because his rap hands are excellent.
His rap hands are excellent. He didn't look crazy doing that
nigga,
shit.
He be doing that shit.
In the mirror.
In the mirror, he did that shit in the car at the stoplight.
Yeah,
all that shit.
Yeah. Both those videos are hot, and I watched, I streamed a lot of Coachella over the weekend. So I watched Kendrick's performance at Coachella. Coachella was interesting because it was as black as it's ever been. Like they had, you know, Khaled,
in terms of artist lineup,
they had Gucci, Lil Uzi Vert, Tory Lanez. Khaled had a whole set. Future, Migos, obviously Kendrick. I feel like I'm forgetting others. It was the Sampha. There's just like so many black. Drake came out, you know, on different people's sets. It was like there's so many black artists throughout, you know. And then Rihanna was there, but she's always there. She goes every year. But it was a very a huge black presence, along obviously with Kendrick being a black headliner. So it was interesting, like, to see, you know, the culture really get a shot at this massive festival that, you know.
But I definitely heard echoes of, you know, when Cass was there with Future and Kendrick's performance saying, you know, them white kids ain't know the stuff.
Nah, with Future, that's not true. Future's performance, he killed it. They knew all his shit. Like he bodied it. He really bodied it. And with Kendrick, he did most of the new album. So a lot of it, they didn't know because the album had just come out. He did do other stuff like Don't Kill My Vibe and stuff like that too. But he did a lot of the newer stuff, and that's probably where people were getting lost. But, they're wrong about the Future set. The Future set was, for him, it was excellent. It really stamped him as a rock star. But it was interesting to kind of see, like I said, the culture get that look at this. Because you know, most of the people who go to Coachella are white. You know, it's not a lot of blacks in the crowd. You know,
I can only imagine how annoying them culture appropriating ass white people were on Easter weekend for Coachella.
Yep.
Good
Friday and Easter Sunday.
So much Jesusness out there.
And I know everybody loved the little clip of the little white kid on his dad's shoulders and. You know, he knew all the words and all of that. And it was cute.
Here you go.
I, God bless him. Let me be quiet. God bless him.
So let's talk about, I didn't see a lot of, TV, this week. The only thing I saw was T.I. and Tiny. Did y'all watch that?
No, I didn't watch that.
I've never been a faithful watcher of their show. I've caught an episode here and there, but it's not really enough to keep me locked in.
I mean, it was good. I mean, they did two episodes back to back. Only a half hour, so they're really short and easy. But it was, first of all, I've been watching the show since it came on, so it just bugs me out to see, you know, the kids like grow up. Like they're like, his two oldest boys are like grown. You know what I'm saying? They're like, probably like 18 and 20 or something by now. And then his oldest daughter's probably like, what's she like? Probably about 16, I guess, because she's still in high school. But this is just a trip to see them be, you know, kind of growing up and stuff. But, you know, you could also see that even amongst the show and everything, that Tiny is not really happy. Because they live in two houses now. Like, Tiny got a whole big-ass house for herself.
Oh, I don't think I knew that part.
Yeah, I didn't know that either until the show came on. I didn't know what was going on. But yeah, Tip's in the old house that they used to live in, and he's like redecorating it, making it like a bachelor pad. And then
so
like,
all the kids are with Tiny?
They go back and forth because the houses are only apparently a few minutes away. So the kids will be with Tiny, then they'll go over to Tip's house. She'll drop them off over there. Then some will stay with her. The baby's, you know, obviously always with her. Cause, you know, that's the other thing I forgot. Like, the baby's like a baby. It's like,
the baby just turned a year old, like 2 weeks ago.
That's what I'm saying. When it was filming, the baby probably was like 9 months. You know what I'm saying? Like, but you can see Tiny's trying to do that thing that, you know, it's like, I'm okay. You know, hey man, it might not work out, but then she finds any excuse she can to go over to the Tip house to see what he's doing. And him, like, he's out here, you know, I guess running around doing his thing or whatever, but he's doing that nigga thing where, like, he's doing that, but he's still in his own way kind of claims her. Like, you know, like, he's right, still kind of, right, like, gives her little things to make her think that I might come back. You know what I'm saying?
I'm guessing with this in mind, this whole season is basically about how they're surviving post-split. Like, that is the plot line.
That's exactly the plot line. But it's weird because they're split, but they're not, like, Tiny ain't dating or nothing, and they got all the damn kids, and they see the kids all the time. It's like, so they split, but not really. But Tip, I guess, will slide off and do whatever he's doing. But they're not, like, split where it's like, we don't talk, we have two separate lives. Their lives are still mad intertwined. There's six kids between them. So
kids, too, so they can't even...
Yeah, Major's eight. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like in like fourth grade. You know what I'm saying? King is probably like 11. You know what I'm saying? They still got a long way to go with some of these kids getting out of school. Like, everybody not graduating no time soon. So, yeah, but it was kind of sad in a way because Tiny definitely, you can see she still loves the dude. And, you know, she's kind of accepting it, but you can also see she's hoping that he just is going through something and he's going to come back home. You can feel that energy with her. So, I mean, we'll see how the season goes as it progresses. But let's talk about Fix My Life. So, our girl Auntie Ayana came on, premiered her show Saturday night
with the side of her head shaven, like, yes, it's 2014, and that's the hot shit.
The whole shit is shaven, all the way around the side.
Like, I don't know who told her that was. Never mind. Okay.
Well, you know, she got me, what, smooth 60, what, she about 65?
I don't know. I don't even think she's that old. Okay, yeah, maybe 60.
Yeah, maybe 60. So, you know, it's hot for her. It ain't hot for you. You know what I'm saying? But like, for a 60-year-old woman, you know, so her first Fix My Life is,
She's 63.
60, yeah, okay. So her first Fix My Life, is with, Neffy from, Keisha Cole's sister. And is Solo, her husband, who are now living living in a hotel. And
because they kept getting kicked out of apartments for drama.
For drama, yelling and screaming.
Or houses or whatever they were.
Wherever they was at, yeah. So, you know, there was a lot of controversy, and I'm going to let y'all take it because we were on opposite sides of the coin here. Because Ayana seemed to focus in on Neffy and go hard on her while making Solo more like the victim. And,
we was on the same side of the coin because I saw that, like, watching the show there was a point where it was like, okay, this is getting awkward.
Right.
And she was, you know, listen, and Na has said this before about, and I'm using air quotes here, her therapy, right? I like Ayana, I think her pound cake is probably flames. I would love to, you know, have her over to the house for cookout. I'd put her ribs to the side and all that stuff. But
put a little something in my tea, you know, a little medicine in there.
Yeah, exactly. But like, for her to take a stance to be someone who is trying to be therapeutic for a couple, there was zero objectivity in that, like, zero. I mean,
it was all Neffy's fault.
It was not only was everything Neffy's fault, but I'm gonna tell you this: there's a consistent underlying judgment of people who have been on reality television, and those people are judged in a far more harsher way. And I felt like all of that was coming from the clips that she had seen. And I'm not caping.
We lost Sean. I think he was about to say he's not caping for Neffy. Yeah, but until he comes back.
Yeah, what'd you think about it?
I mean, I agree. Yalla was definitely, oh, and he's back.
Oh, he's back.
I agree. Go ahead. You were about to say you're not caping for Neffy, Sean?
I'm not caping for Neffy, and I think that pretty much what she was saying was probably on point. Personally, I wouldn't be surprised if Neffy hits him and all of that sort of shit. Like, all of the things that she said, I felt were accurate. I just felt like her tone was so mean-spirited and so harsh to Neffy, while basically making this grown-ass man into a child,
literally cradled in her lap, literally.
Yes, like made this grown ass man who has authority. Like, you're in this marriage. Like, she didn't fucking kidnap you, my nigga. Like, you are here. Like, figure this out. Like, and he had no responsibility, no accountability, nothing about the fact that all of this stuff, and Neffy was right. I was who I was. Nigga, you didn't.
And you knew that. Clearly you knew that because you met me when I was 8 months pregnant by another nigga, but dating a whole nother nigga.
That's what I was.
Nigga!
The circumstances of how they met was so bizarre. She's 8 months pregnant by her, I guess ex-husband? Maybe not. I don't know. And then she's dating he's apparently young dude, just, you know, a young Thundercat who they homeless. So she calls Solo. So her and her kids that she had at the time and her 8 month pregnant self and her boyfriend, the young boy, can all come stay at Solo house. I'm like,
She ain't even known him that long at the time.
Yeah, she barely known him. What part of the game is this? Like, what?
But the other thing is, and I mean, listen, there's a part two to this. It continues next week. My hope is that next week Ayala works on nurturing Neffy, because it's the same thing. These are two grown ass people who weren't parented and who are suffering from severe case of arrested development, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so she's addressing it with Solo, but with Neffy, I think in part because Neffy herself said that there's a Neffy and then there's a Nefertiria or whatever her full name is.
She calls
herself trying to I guess, like almost like you would try to exorcise a demon. She's trying to exorcise the Neffy.
Let me just say this though, and I think that's what the thing that people missed I'm not saying she was right or wrong in her methods, but when Ayala was cursing out I guess Neffy is the bad one, right? When she was cursing out Neffy, she basically was saying, I'm going to curse out that alter ego that you have.
Right, right.
Cursing out the whole being. She was cursing out this alter ego that you
and
have.
And I knew that.
Nasty and mean. But I think a lot of people.
I knew that as soon as I saw. I knew that's what it was as soon as I saw the premiere. Because one thing Ayala does not believe in is calling women out of their names. Or calling anybody out of their names.
Yeah, especially calling people bitches.
Look, man. Look,
you don't fuck with that at all.
I'm gonna say this.
Go ahead, bro.
this whole, I'm two different people, and there's this other alternative person, and that's the bad person. Like, get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. Okay, you're mean, and you're nasty, and that's all of you. You don't get to fucking pick and choose. Like, this is something, and let me say that this is something that hustlers do, right? This is something that people who are in your life, who do shit to you and try to make you feel like they didn't really do it to you.
Yeah,
that there's some
really
other
me.
Being, there's some other thing that takes over me. No, motherfucker. You were drinking, you were out of control, and you were being an asshole. Like, miss me with this whole other, that's the other person. That's the bad me. That's the no motherfucker.
When I drink, the other person come out.
You one person, okay? Yeah. Cut the shit.
So like you said, like Nye said, we're going to get part two this week, which is going to be interesting. I guess it's two parts. I don't know if it's three, but I think it's two. Might be three, though. You know, they went a whole season on old boy who had all the kids. So we're going to see. But it was a bad.
And also, man, and let me say this. I don't know Solo. And, you know, maybe he's a good dude, right? But, like, I feel like there might have been some underlying motives for him as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, dude was a rapper.
He was a rapper. He was
a rapper right around the time when he met Neffy.
Mm-hmm.
Neffy was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because
Cole and all that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude. I'm not, and listen, I'm not even saying that Neffy couldn't have been a charming person at that point and he liked her at all, you know, but I just feel like there were some underlying motives that I don't think are really being addressed.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we're gonna keep an eye on it. Let's also, since we're on the reality thing, let's talk about the first part of the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion. Now, did you watch?
I did watch.
And what did you think?
We ain't got to the good stuff yet. Also, though, Cam is really just one of the most annoying and irksome people.
She is.
On TV. Like, this broad can take accountability for nothing. Like, even when you blatantly catch her in something that she can't deny, instead of saying, yes, I did that, or I'm sorry, it's, well, these other people all did, or everybody said, or this person did, or this other person did. Like, she can never, ever.
Are you talking about specifically the stuff that her and Phaedra was going back and forth about?
Her and Phaedra, her and Portia, something else. You know, like even with when Andy was like, when they were talking about her following Portia out of the restaurant into the street that day that they got into it. And she was like, well, yeah, looking back on that, I can see that I shouldn't have done that, but I'm not apologizing for it. I'm just going to say I made a bad choice. What? Like, I mean, and then it was something about her calling somebody some names, and she's like, everybody here has called somebody name. You know, she just won't ever just say, you know what? I shouldn't have done that. Like, it'll be like, well, they did it too. And I can't.
But what do we think about Phaedra's whole thing? Because Phaedra,
I think that Phaedra gets hers next episode, maybe. I don't know. We got four parts, so who knows? But I mean, Phaedra clearly came on with the thought that, you know, she ain't got to deal with Apollo being there this time. She ain't got to, and she clearly feels like she got away this season looking better than she did. And I mean, of course, they taped this, you know, only almost halfway through the season or whatever. Because she's up there feeling like she's going to be like the carefree, light, righteous one, right?
Yeah.
And like they wasn't, you catching sound her crazy.
Like they wasn't catching her doing slick shit on camera.
Yeah, like you sound crazy. Like you could tell she's trying to be, like she's trying to be mellow and fun. She got the little hair out. She usually wears her hair up for you. She got the little hair out. She got a little whatever. Portia is trying to be like articulate and calm and poised. And whatever, but it's like, y'all all full of shit, everybody, but Phaedra especially full of shit, and I'm so glad Candy was like, yeah, that's like, you're full of shit. Like,
yeah, because but one thing, again, Kenya's annoying as hell, like, there's no question, I agree with everything you're saying, but like, Phaedra constantly basically trying to blame Kenya for the breakup of her marriage, to me, it's ridiculous.
But you know what, man, it really sort of goes to, also, Phaedra really not having any accountability, right? Like,
at all.
You know, like trying to use this at, after it's been proven that Apollo was lying.
He said he was lying.
He apologized to Kenya.
Yeah.
And you're still harping on something that was like two seasons ago that you guys. And also
to Kenya's point, even though I hate saying it, she and Phaedra made up and agreed to move on.
Yeah. And then Phaedra flipped on her.
Right.
Like, you know, Kenya comes in to, you know, talk to us how she's doing when they were in Hawaii and after the divorce party thing. That was a big thing. But again, I don't think Kenya did that out of malice. I think she did it out of ignorance.
It was a really, really, really poor decision.
It was a poor decision, but I don't think she did it.
But she didn't do it,
She just did it because, like you said, it was a dumb thing to do, but then.
And also because Kenya be so pressed to have a friend. This is the other thing everybody needs to understand. Kenya be so pressed to have a friend. That once any of these broads show that they're remotely on her side, she's going to jump on it.
Yeah.
Regardless of what's happened in the past, because she ain't got no friends on the show. When do you ever see Kenya with anybody that's not an
adversary?
You're right. Yeah. There's no comes over to just hang out or whatever.
Yeah. Everybody else got some outside friends somewhere that you see.
Yeah.
Occasionally, except maybe Cynthia, except when she goes to New York. But everybody got some outside friends that you see occasionally. Cynthia ain't got. She ain't got nobody.
Yeah. So, I mean, and what do we think of what it was something else that was kind of interesting on there. We talked about Portia and her shit. That was, like I said, she's trying to be articulate, but she ain't really making no damn sense in the process. No. But I feel like it was another kind of good storyline when straight thread.
Oh, yeah. Who else they talking about? They didn't really get deep into Sheree. Except to talk about the house.
Looks like that's going to be next episode.
Yeah. I feel like the men might not come out till the third episode, but they didn't really get too deep into anything else. I don't think they talked a little bit about, they didn't even get deep into the candy
thing.
Like
I said to you guys, I think 4 hours is a lot of content for a reunion. I think it's overwhelming. And I definitely feel like this was the softball. This was sort of teeing up stuff and, getting them, doing light stuff. And then they'll start to pick up as they go along.
Yeah. So we'll be watching this week as well. So this week was also announced that, Carmelo Anthony and Lala have split. Carmelo allegedly got, this girl pregnant. Now, one thing I am confused about, and I think this is just some nigga shit, but everybody keeps calling this girl a stripper. But from what I've read, she's going for a graduate degree in Northwestern
University. Well, apparently the people are mixed up. People were saying she's a stripper in New York, but she's a girl somewhere else altogether. I think they're getting.
She's from Chicago.
So I don't think it's so much that they think this girl was a stripper. They think it was a whole different girl. They're saying there was a stripper in New York. This is some whole other girl in Chicago.
Okay. Because like I said, I keep saying and she could be still stripping and going to graduate school. It's not impossible, but I mean, they kind of putting this girl into she's like a dumb IG model. But I'm like, I don't know. I think she's like a little, again, she could be, I'm not saying, she's not
Come on. I also find it very interesting how it felt like the disappointment was lowered when the idea of her being a stripper was there, right? It was as though if she wasn't a stripper, if she was anything but a stripper, if she worked 4 to 12 at the Target, right? This wouldn't be that bad.
But it's the fact that it's a stripper.
To keep harping on the stripper thing. So I don't know if it was.
Because it's so cliche.
Yeah. I mean, and listen, I mean, like guys, like strippers have a lot. Like, where do you think all of those strippers from 92 are?
Yeah.
They're your aunties.
Absolutely.
They're your aunties.
A lot of them is working jobs and living regular lives. Yes.
Carol, that's 47.
Yeah,
worked down at the call center or whatever.
Dance back in the day.
Yeah, she got a couple dollars. Her name was Cinnamon.
Exactly.
And then there we go.
Yeah, now she married with three. You know what I'm saying? And she
on the usher board.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like this whole stripper culture has really fuck the game up, man, because it's like, and that's why I kind of make that joke, half joking, always say hoes need love too, or stripper needs love too. What I mean by that, in a lot of cases, is that, they're still women. You know what I'm saying? And just because somebody's a stripper doesn't mean they're automatically a prostitute, whore, terrible, disgusting person. It's not that. But it's like, if you're a stripper, it means you're the lowest of the low. It's like, no, they have, with any other occupation, they have some people who fucking in the champagne room for money and, be tricking and be scamming niggas. Yes. But then they got a lot of strippers who do this, during the day, or once they get out the life, like Sean said, at 28 or 30 years old, they'll go and open up a nail salon or something.
Hair or whatever.
Yeah, and they become, normal citizens. It's like you said, where's all the strippers who was at Magic City in 99? They in regular life. Just to say that, because it's almost like you're saying, the people saying, well, if this girl is a stripper that Carmelo allegedly got pregnant, that means they're saying oh yeah, she's a stripper. Of course she's a whore.
Yes, that was the tone. And it was just like, we don't even, well, one, this is,
we don't know shit really.
We don't know shit right now. They've been married for a very long time. I've read some things where they were like, this really, they have had issues. Wasn't the only thing.
They had split up for a minute before, about three years ago, but then got back together.
I mean
listen, shit happens, nigga.
Shit happens. There's nobody has put in divorce papers.
No.
Nobody, this is what rich people do, okay? Listen. They go to their other apartment on 59th Street.
Listen.
Nobody's moving back to their mama's house.
This is all I'm going to say. So the rumor is, I don't know them, so I'm not saying I believe it.
It's all allegedly.
Allegedly, Mello has moved like this through his whole marriage. Like, this is what he does.
Slide on.
But the number one rule is always, 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 always don't do no shit that's gonna make me look crazy.
Yeah, don't bring no baby.
Don't do no shit that's gonna make me look crazy. Do not have me out here looking crazy. That means stop, you know, outside fucking babies and all, or chicks who might be sending DM screenshots to a blogger or, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, any of those things. Do not have me out here looking crazy.
Yeah.
And by even the fact that there might be a baby, that there's somebody who can say they got a baby, like Rashida was saying about Kirk, and I can't believe I'm using that quote, but like Rashida was saying about Kirk on Love and Hip Hop, she was like, yo, you shouldn't even have me in a position where this is a conversation. Like, why is there anybody out there who can say they potentially have your child?
Yeah.
Like, that shouldn't even be happening. And that's rule number one. And Kyan is old enough to see this shit on the blogs.
Yeah, yeah. He's what, 10 or 11 now. So, yeah. I mean, you know, there was a picture of Lala out. She didn't have a ring on it. You know, eyes were very watery. Like, she had been, you know, crying. Peace. I mean,
and there was a picture of him out the same day with no ring on.
Oh, I didn't see that. I mean, I'm going to say peace. This is kind of weird to say peace to, but I mean, I guess peace to Chris Chambers, who I know for a long time. I'm sure y'all know too, who's, I guess, her publicist now. He was in the pictures with her. But, it's another phenomenon. That's what I wanted to talk about. Another phenomenon that goes along with this is, whether it's with Lala, whether it's with Tiny, Rashida, you know, whoever, if a woman, is kind of cheated on, yeah, on from the man to the woman side, right? It seems like the thing that everybody does on Twitter or whatever is the first thing people is talk, even the Janet Jackson shit, the first thing we talk about is money. It's like, yo, she about to get paid. It's like, yo, this woman's marriage,
her life.
Is breaking up. Her life is breaking up. Money's not an issue between them. Like,
that's all people think about with celebrities.
Yeah, everybody looks at it as like, oh, he cheated on you. Now it's your turn for it's like a lottery ticket for you to get a come up. It's like, it's not that simple. Like, I have six kids. Like, it's not that easy.
It's not even, listen, even when you wipe the kids away, even if you push the kids to the side, you have built a life with someone. Mm-hmm. They were not play married. They were not play together. This was not, you know, a summer fling or something. Like, they were together for real. Mm-hmm. Like, they were looking at building a life. They were looking at building a life together.
Yeah, Lala had no plans on being single.
And they've only been married, I think, 7 years, but they've been together for like 12 years.
Yeah, because they had the boy before they even got married.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that when people say that, it's because there is, there's always this desire for the worst and the most salacious thing you can imagine about someone.
Yeah.
And, you know, to think that that's even remotely what she's thinking about right now tells me that you don't really have a sense of, like, when people have money like that, like when you have that kind of bread for that long, I'm not saying money is not a concern, but it becomes a bit inconsequential to your life. It is not something that is overwhelming to you on a daily basis. I can assure you, and I'm not saying she won't be saying if she moves forward with the divorce that she needs to be paid alimony or, you know, support or whatever the case may be. But like, I'm positive when she got the news that her fucking marriage is on the rocks and she needed to move out, that wasn't what she was thinking about.
Yeah, she wasn't like, bet, I'm about to come out. I'm about to get this money. Me and my girls about to go start hanging out.
Pop champagne, nigga, and have a party. Like, you know, like, my life is about to be flipped, turned upside down. Like, yo, they have a kid. Like, they're, and that's been one of the things, too. Like, a big part of why he had the no trade clause was because a lot of people put it on Lala, you know, and really from what I've been reading was that they didn't want to uproot their son. Mm. They wanted him to be able to, you know, they didn't want to move him from his house and from his friends.
His school and everything. Yeah.
That is not an easy thing. When you come in to, you know, you go and now you go from New York City to fucking, you know, wherever, Phoenix. Yeah.
Cleveland or something.
Cleveland or something. Yeah. It's like, yo, yeah. That's like culture shock.
Yeah, know? Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Yeah, so I mean, it's when people talk like that, it's a lot of people telling on themselves. It's like, you ain't really had probably haven't had a real successful relationship or long-term
right.
relationship. Or meaningful one, if you can just look at everything as just a way to get money.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, if that's what it's about, then like, you got
it. I wish them well, though. I really do. Yeah. I like them together.
I hope it works out. It might be tough to some tough times ahead, but I think I'm talking shit because I don't need one of them. But in the long run, I definitely don't think Lala wants to be out here single. And I really don't think that Carmelo wants to leave his marriage either. I think he'll work hard to get it back. I mean, who knows what will happen, but I don't think he's also not looking at it like, bet, I'm about to be out here wilding. It's like, we'll keep an eye on that, man. I wanted to talk also about Bill O'Reilly, Fox News' own Bill O'Reilly. Was today reported that Fox News has severed ties with him. I mean, don't cry for him. I'm sure he's getting some type of big payout and everything, and he'll probably resurface somewhere else. You know, I don't know if on television or through podcasting or radio or whatever, but he'll be fine. But he's not on TV no more. Tucker Carlson has taken his place on that time slot, and Bill O'Reilly's bullshit is gone.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. I think alive.
O'Reilly gone. Tommy Lauren gone.
Yep. I think
Trump's inside circles starting to fall apart. Listen, yeah. Jesus is working.
Yeah, yeah. I really think that besides the fact that Bill O'Reilly,
the dude from InfoWars, is about to be out of here.
Oh yeah, he's fucked up too. Yeah, he's
awesome.
Yeah. I think besides Bill O'Reilly, besides all the advertisers leaving his show, which was a main factor, I kind of feel like also like, yo, like he's kind of like an old man. You know what I'm saying? Like, so like, you know, it's like, yo, we got the old man up here, like being the face of our network. We got a 60, almost 70 year old man being the face of our network.
We need to
get some young blood up in here. Like, yeah, MSNBC is a much younger looking network. Even CNN is a much, Jake Tapper is, you know, they're trying to make him kind of like the new face of network. And
right.
Jake is probably.
I mean, MSNBC looks younger in the daytime. At nighttime, they're still old. But.
Yeah,
so you got Chris
and Brian against
Chris Hayes and,
Rachel Maddow.
And Rachel against, you know, Lawrence O'Donnell and Chris Matthews.
Yeah, but
the other thing is, I think what this is, that might have been part of it, Jeff, but also, the thing is that O'Reilly was about to become a bigger liability for Fox Network as a whole with this whole thing, and they're just coming out from under fire with Ailes. And part of what's happening is that there's some digging happening, finding out that previous settlements paid to people complaining about O'Reilly or who, mm-hmm. you know, took umbrage with O'Reilly were reported by those people as income. And not, so we're paid to them as income and not as a settlement.
Payouts. So which ultimately hides
the fact that Fox is out here, you know, paying out settlements. It's fraud, you know?
So the $13 million for the O'Reilly payouts, those weren't looked at as payouts. They were looked at
they were paid out as income. So that makes Fox look like they haven't been, you know, paying out settlements.
Well, you know what? I'm not excited. I mean, it's like I just killed one cockroach. I know that there's five other coming. You know what I'm saying? Like whoever's going to replace him, they're still going to have the same tone. They're still going to have the same rhetoric.
But they won't have the same following, at least not off the bat, or the same reach.
They're going to have the same platform, and they will eventually get that same following, in my opinion. I'm just saying, I'm not, to me, removing Bill O'Reilly doesn't shift their tone and content. And while
it doesn't, but I think that what we are seeing a little bit of, because like I said, it's not just Bill, but I think what we're seeing a little bit of is finally like we're at kind of like that catalyst point getting to that catalyst point that kind of happened with the Tea Party, which is like, this is the backlash to the backlash. Like the Tea Party was the backlash to liberalism. And then we saw this huge crescendo with Trump. of like the far right feeling like it was okay to just openly be as ridiculous as possible, and those ridiculous points of view becoming more and more mainstream. And now it seems like finally it's like, okay, let's back this up a little bit. And I mean, is it going to be a quick process? No, but it's encouraging to see any kind of shift, because I was just worried about how much momentum everybody was gaining. I mean, so the fact that I haven't seen Kellyanne Conway on my TV in weeks,
yeah,
the fact that Tommy Lauren and the Blazering are suing each other in court and tearing each other apart, the fact that Bannon's out of there, the fact that Bannon has a lesser role, the fact that InfoWars dude is being drugged all through court, and his lawyer saying that he's just playing a character on InfoWars. These things make, I'm going to take my small victories where I can get some.
Well, God bless. God bless. Yeah. I'm going to sit tight, because I don't trust these wife.
And the fact that people just really ain't fucking with Spicer even a little bit. Like, they're giving him no country at all whatsoever.
I guess my issue is, like I said, with Fox, in that I don't necessarily know that the tone, the rhetoric, and that the intent is gonna change. And that is what it is. That's, you know, there are people support
they're
them.
They're gonna be the far right, you know, right wing network. That's not gonna, you know, MSNBC's far left, you know, they're far right, and I guess CNN's supposed to be kind of in the middle. And then, you know, they have their audience. That's not gonna change, but, you know, like, I think that the crazy, you know, it's not even necessarily all the evilness of Trump, which is evil as hell. I think it's the fact that they're so incompetent, and Trump is bringing us right up to the edge of nuclear war, and just doing so much dumb shit. And I think that's the backlash, like Nas said, is that his people are just like, they still don't like niggas and all that, but it's just like, yo, like, this guy's not for nobody but himself. They're finally starting to see what they really done by election. Yeah. You know, and that, I think that's what the backlash is. Like, again, it's going to be hardcore people that are never going to admit that they did wrong. But like, some people are just, even like, there are Republican senators and congressmen that are like campaigning against what he does, because he's bananas. Like, he's.
And again, fuck them too. Fuck them too. You know why? Because all of these, listen, let me tell you something. I'm sick of all of these motherfuckers who are picking the side that the water is flowing on already. Like, when you had a chance to stand for some shit, when you had a chance to be about something, you motherfuckers sat there and waited, and you wanted to see which way this wind was going to blow.
Yeah.
And now you flowing which whatever way the wind is blowing. And listen, it's blowing in my direction now, so I'm going to get you on my side. And I'm, you know what? I'm like, whatever, because the moment that shit shifts, and the moment you feel like your constituents want you to blow in another direction,
you're going to go that direction.
You don't stand for shit. None of you motherfuckers. Only person standing for something is Maxine Waters. She's the only motherfucker out there that's dug her heels in, literally, on this whole situation. The rest of you motherfuckers have been nowhere to be found, not accountable. You're not saying anything about these fucking ridiculous ass trips. The fact that the security
every
of Mar-a-Lago
weekend,
is
B.
fucking ridiculous. Like, this motherfucker is working a 4-day work week.
Every
the president
week.
Of the United States is work. I listen to
every
a podcast,
fucking week. While North Korea is aiming missiles in this direction.
I listened to a podcast today, Fresh Air, and the deputy chief of staff under Obama was on there doing an interview, and she talked about that. She was like, you're never, I guess that would be sort of Abby's role in Scandal. It was like, you're never not on call. Like, this, like, she was like, yo, they had several instances, like, they would have monthly meetings to come in on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Like, you came into work on, like, you're like,
because the world don't stop.
Like, this motherfucker is on the, like, dude, I don't know if you ever played golf, dude. Do you know how long it takes to play, like, 18
hours.
Holes of golf?
Hours.
Oh, motherfucking
like,
day.
Almost, it's literally like 4 hours.
I don't think this dude played this much golf as a private citizen,
yeah,
actually.
Exactly.
He didn't. This is this is a part of everything about them. Like, honestly, man. Fuck that family. They're all rotten to the core.
Yep.
The sons. I'm pissed off that fucking Secret Service detail. Honestly, Ivanka is the only, other than his wife and his son that's in New York, Ivanka is the only one that should be getting a Secret Service detail. His fucking sons are private citizens who are grown adult men who are working for a private company. Hire a fucking security detail. Secret Service should not be listed to be used at their fucking disposal and discretion.
I think Tiffany Trump got Secret Service and she lived down in Texas.
Dude, nobody, like.
Nobody want her?
All I'm saying is, like, honestly, man, like, I just go through the days hoping that this motherfucker just wakes up one day and be like, yo, I had enough.
I think that's going to happen.
I think we're getting there, even if not just because of himself. Like, you know, I've put this out there before, and I'm far from the only person who has this the speculation that he's suffering from early stages of dementia. And even in the quote unquote rally he did the other day from whatever manufacturing plant it was.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever. You know, he kept calling Paul Ryan Ron.
Yeah.
And he was messing up some other names and doing some other stuff. Like he can't, and I think that's why he escapes to Mar-a-Lago every weekend, is that he literally can't handle the pressures that come with being in the White House. He really can't.
It ain't the White House. He's a fucking lazy come up. He's the quintessential white man who basically like woke up on third and thought he hit a triple. Like,
yeah.
He fucking came up in the world. He's never had to fucking work hard. So he can like, man, let me go.
take a drink. Cause your pressure.
Yeah, your pressure up. Your pressure up now. Pressure. You think you call, glass of cold water. Next thing I want to talk about is Aaron Hernandez, who's a tight end. I think he won. Well, he was on a Super Bowl winning team, correct? Yeah, one of them.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
2013.
Yeah. He was convicted of murder, and got a life sentence. Then was convicted. Indicted on a double murder. He was acquitted of that, but he was still spending his life in prison, 27 years old, and they found him hung in his cell yesterday. And so they're saying a suicide. Of course, there's a lot of rumors and innuendo going around saying that they think somebody killed him. They said he had written John 13 on his head and feet.
John 316.
316, excuse me. On his head and feet, and then hung himself in his cell. He had a cell by himself. He didn't have any roommates. It wasn't foul play from there. So there's a lot of speculation about, you know, did he kill himself? Was it foul play or whatever? But the bottom line is, you know, 27 years old and he's gone. What you think, man?
You know, I got nothing.
Yeah.
He was a savage murderer.
He was a savage.
He killed two innocent people for a perceived disrespect.
Yeah.
I know he was acquitted of that, but he killed those guys.
Yep.
But then he killed someone else to cover up the double murder.
Yep.
Not only someone else, I believe that was his brother-in-law.
Yeah.
He killed his brother-in-law. He shot his friend between the eyes.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Shot this dude between the eyes. Like, this was, I mean, so
it was like a bad movie.
Yo, it was like
Pac and Juice.
Like a TV One movie.
It was like Pac and Juice when all of a sudden he got a gun and he just started killing niggas.
It was just insane. So, you know, look, man, I don't have, it's very difficult. First of all, I don't really have any remorse because I don't know him, you know. So what I do know of him is that he played football and he killed people. So not really sure how emotional I'm going to get, but also too, for people, man, like I'm becoming very uncomfortable with the way
search for Steve.
If we have like, it's like if a person of color, like, well, not a person of color, if a black person or a Hispanic person commits suicide, every single time,
nobody can believe they actually did it.
Nobody can believe they actually did it. Like, black people and Puerto Ricans and Hispanic people don't commit suicide. It's like, yo, man, like, you aren't in his head. You don't know what that shit means. Like, life is fucking life for real. He ain't the first person to off himself in jail.
Yep. And won't be the last.
That shit happens. Lawrence Phillips hung himself in jail.
Yep. Yep.
In the same way. And listen, guys, you can hang yourself without. I know we look at the movies and we think of, you know, the guy standing on the chair and the rope connected to the ceiling, and he kicks the chair off, and he's dangling and flailing. You can hang yourself by not doing that. You can suffocate yourself by not doing that. Like, dude, there's multiple ways. So, like, stop. And what's the conspiracy here? Like, who?
Right.
Tell
what?
Me,
what? To what end? Like, what?
Like,
what was the end game here?
They snuck in his cell and they killed him because they didn't like the fact that he was, so aggressive in prison and fighting with people.
Well, he was. And guess what? Hey, shit happens.
Yeah.
You come in, like, nigga, you in the joint.
Yeah.
You in the pen, bro. You ain't in this ain't no, you ain't in the county, my nigga. Yeah, like, you in real maximum security penitentiary. Shit
with
is
killers.
Real.
With
shit
killers.
Is real.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dudes that go in jail and don't come home.
Yeah. You're right. A lot.
Like,
what do you want people realize?
Yeah, like this whole idea, man, that he was, you know, and then I saw somebody tweeting about, oh, we got to look at depression. And I'm like, yo, man, like, he ain't in no fucking clinic. You don't know what's going on in that man's head. You don't know. You don't know him. Like, clearly you don't know him. Clearly, damn near everybody around him didn't know him.
Didn't know him. They didn't know he's moving like that.
Yeah. His brother-in-law got in a fucking car and didn't realize, oh, shit, I'm about to be killed.
Yeah, this is my last night. This is my last night alive.
Yeah, like, he basically was texting saying, like, yo, I basically saying, you know, I think something's getting ready to happen to me.
Yeah.
Those were, like, his last text messages.
Yeah,
like,
he was like, yo, if I
killer.
Yeah, he's like, yo, if I end up dead, like, you know, he did it, basically.
He's a cold-blooded killer. Why am I getting riled up or emotional over somebody who would as soon as fucking shoot me for stepping on his shoe?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The world, I mean, whatever, man. I'm not really, you know. And then people was like, oh, he got a daughter. And I mean,
What about the people he killed? Like
Them fucking people that he killed in cold blood. They didn't have anybody.
Right.
Is this supposed to be whatever?
And his daughter was going to do what with him being in jail for
he was in jail forever.
Yeah. I ain't got no remorse on this one. Nada. And that was also the coward's way out. You know what I mean? Like, you're not even man enough to face your punishment for the crimes you committed. You was a big enough man to just go on shooting everybody every 10 seconds, but you can't even actually do the time.
Yeah.
Nah. Because people, you know, like, that shit is real.
Yeah.
That shit is real. Like, when I talk to some of the old heads and they be like, yo, man, like, you behind that wall, man, like, you feel like you're never getting out of there.
Yep.
Ever.
And they can do it. They can tell you everything, anything they want. You got to do it.
And whatever.
You got nothing to say. Ain't your family done abandoned you. The girl you thought loved you and moved on is fucking your boy. Like, everything's fucked up and you can't do nothing about it, but eat it. You know?
So, I mean, I don't know. And people were like, well, you know, he had an appeal and, like, listen, man, I get all of that, but
he wasn't getting out.
And not only was he not getting out, clearly this was not a rational person.
Yeah.
You can just tell. I mean, his actions spoke to that.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys were expecting.
Yeah. So, yeah, you should be shocked that he killed himself. You know what I'm saying? He's in these dire circumstances. Like, why would he not just say, fucking, I'm checking out? Like, I'm done, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, that story's over. You know what I'm saying? You know, like you say, he's got a daughter and all that stuff, but, like, that story's over with. Like, we're not going to hear anything about his daughter or anybody anymore. It's like, you know, that's...
And hopefully the only time that I do feel remorse is that little girl knows who her father is.
Absolutely.
And she, you know, I was listening to Bomani, and he made a great point, which is she's going to have to grow up and she's going to have to learn about what her dad did.
Yep.
And how he died and what happened. And she's going to have to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just not some easy shit. And I get all of that. But, like, I'm pretty sure there were people who loved those folks that he killed for absolutely nothing.
Yeah, for
right. Nobody. Like he left his daughter, but he also killed his daughter's uncle. He killed his, you know what I mean? It's
exactly.
Just like,
yeah.
Weird shit.
Yeah, man. So last story we're going to talk about is the killing of Robert Goodwin out in Cleveland.
I think it's Godwin.
Is it Godwin? You're right. It is Godwin by Steve Stevens. So Steve Stevens was apparently a very troubled guy. And I mean, I've been hearing all kind of rumors that, you know, he had issues because he was a really kind of weird looking dude. So he didn't have luck with the ladies and he was stressed about that. But then there was also rumors that, you know, he might have been gay and it came out and he was stressed that it was going to come out. Who knows?
Okay, I ain't see them.
Yeah, I saw that. But who knows that really is the bottom line.
I thought gambling debts. Kept getting evicted from apartments.
Yeah.
He was like, he only made like $28,000 a year or something like that. And he was in like $40,000 in debt. And then the shit with his girl.
Yeah. Then it's,
but he apparently been posting like some pretty suicidal shit
before that
on his Facebook page. Yeah.
Yeah. So, he hits, rock bottom, I guess, in his mind and decides that to make his, he's been trying to get in touch with his ex-girl. She's not taking his phone calls. So he decides he's going to drive around Cleveland. He pulls up on, Mr. Good, Godwin, who's just walking down the street, minding his own business. He used to like to, turn in cans for like spare change. So I think he was either going or coming from the place we turn the cans in. And, Steve Stevens jumps out of the car with his phone, filming all this on Facebook Live. Puts a gun to, Mr. Godwin's, you know, face, tells him to say his ex-girlfriend's name, Joy Lane, and then proceeds to shoot Mr. Godwin dead on the street in Cleveland. Like, it's bananas. Like, you know, and then what was like a 3-day manhunt, 3-4-day manhunt for him?
Yeah, this happened on Sunday and it happened early afternoon Sunday and, they caught up to him yesterday. So like a 2-day manhunt.
Yesterday they cut him in, he was in Pennsylvania. He goes to a McDonald's, drive-through. Somebody in the drive-through recognizes him. They try to stall him out by telling him that they're cooking fries and the fries ain't ready.
Which is ingenious at McDonald's. Ingenious. I mean, really, it's just fucking.
And peace to Plies, because Plies posted a thing on Instagram today saying, look, man, you need to give whoever that person is who did that, you need to give them like a serious raise and not just like, you know, be out there saying, oh, my employees.
Give them a little certificate or something.
Yeah, yeah, you can give them some bread because that they just like, nah, I said that shit was ingenious and they would have caught him.
But there was a reward. There was a $50,000 reward. So
yeah, but then they.
But I guess there was some question as to whether or not. As to whether or not folks are going to, or the police or whoever are going to try to interpret it as he just happened through your McDonald's and you guys called in, not like you were an active citizen or giving a tip.
Yeah, nah, the rewards don't necessarily work like that. The rewards are like, if you have information leading to the arrest, well, nigga, I got information. He had to drive through waiting for some fresh fries with no salt.
Exactly, exactly. So where my 50K? So anyway, so he realizes that they're stalling him out. So he drives away. There's a police chase and then he shoots himself in the head, kills himself. Then of course here comes the smear campaign on Mr. Godwin because, apparently the woman he was, living with, was 34 years old. He was 74 and they had been together since apparently she was allegedly 16 years old. So of course that turns into a thing. Everybody's talking about like that, but it's like, yo, like, you know, that being said, you know, he still died, you know, as an innocent victim, a father of 9, grandfather of 14.
And right.
And by all accounts, everybody said he was a really nice man. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, like, stop bringing up shit. I mean, I wish, and this is one of the reasons, okay, I hate the internet is good and terrible. And I hate that within moments, hours of someone dying, we're privy to all kinds of shit about their life that had nothing to do with why they died. Like,
nothing.
Yeah, I feel like this man died like probably the most horrible death imaginable, especially at that age. You thinking, you know, I'm a leave here in the bed or
yeah,
I'm a ride out
surrounded by my family.
Right.
And I just felt like I just, you know, and I think I mentioned this to you guys on text, it, you know, this is the saying, you know, I kind of wanted them to, you know, get a little coal in the ground before we sort of dug that up.
Yeah.
But like, I just got to say, man, like, that's a problem for me. Like, that's crazy.
What's that? The age difference.
Yes. Not just the age difference. This isn't about an age difference. This is about, you know, look, I don't want to.
Is this confirmed yet? Do we know that this is confirmed yet?
I mean, nobody from his family denied it.
It ain't been unconfirmed.
Yeah, ain't nobody.
And so allegedly, if this story is what it is, which it doesn't seem to be getting any rebuttal.
Yeah, and nobody in his family said it wasn't true.
That's kind of, it's not kind of crazy. It's very crazy and it's very creepy and it's disgusting. It still doesn't mean that he deserved or this was some sort of, you know, way he should have died at all. And he probably did all the things and was all of the things to those people that they said he was.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that this thing here is not crazy because that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's like he's 50 something and he's dating a 16-year-old. It's like
he ain't even dating. He ain't even dating. Like you can't date a 16-year-old.
Yeah, true.
At 56.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you. I mean, like.
Robert.
I can't even wrap my head around that one.
Yeah. But you know, back to him just being, you know, murdered on the street in cold blood live on Facebook. This is also born on a lot of stuff because, you know, there's been people trying to put kind of pressure on Mark Zuckerberg to do something. I don't know what he could do
about Facebook Live.
Yeah, to figure out how to censor it. It's, I don't know how you do that.
I think this isn't the first murder on Facebook Live, if I'm not mistaken.
There's definitely people getting beat up on there and all kinds
of. Yeah, people get beat up, all kinds of lewd sex acts. Yeah. I mean, and the thing about Facebook Live that's different from Snap or Instagram is that you have an unlimited amount of time to just be on there wilding out. But I really don't know how you put any controls in place in any kind of real time to monitor or censor or whatever the videos like that. I just don't know how you physically do that with as many users as there are on Facebook.
I mean, to me, in my opinion, I don't think this is, first of all, I think that the problem to me is that we're looking at censoring Facebook or giving Facebook the accountability to censor this. If he had done this and taken a picture and posted it, then what? I mean, I mean, there's so many different ways you can look at this. This isn't a thing if he doesn't kill him, right? Like we're not having this discussion if this guy doesn't kill him.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not putting any onus on Zuckerberg.
Not you per se, but when you look at, I just feel like there's a contingent of people that always want to champion a cause without really. If we don't have Facebook Live, then guess what? We don't get to watch Philando Castro.
Yeah.
We don't get to see so many videos and so many other things. I mean, if you have to look at this, if this is becoming a tool of criminals, then sure. But I don't think that the overwhelming majority of videos that go live, I mean, half the videos I see is a nigga sitting in his living room talking about the game. it ain't nobody killing nobody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, we gotta be, it's like a guy falls on the train tracks. Well, what are we gonna do? Put guardrails on all the train, you know, at all the subway stations? I mean, you can't necessarily.
You can't police everything.
Everything. It's like, my God, guys. Like, everything. You know, come on.
Yeah. So, I mean, needless to say, it's a horrible tragedy for Mr. Godwin. You know, his family's devastated and, you know, I don't know how you even get past anything like this. I was actually really hoping they would catch the Steven cats alive because I really think him being in prison would have been the worst hell ever because he would have been catching it from every angle and he deserved it the way he did.
Yeah.
He probably would have killed himself in prison.
You're right. He probably would have. You're right. you're right. He wouldn't have lasted long, you know?
Yeah.
So, we're going to wrap it up on that note. Yeah, that's it, man. Everybody have a good week, and we'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
Later.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast. Talk to you next week.